everyone. Welcome to the Office Podcast. My name is Miss Lelo B and I'm hanging with
Lighting
and Kea.
Nihlekan. Yeah, guys, yeah, good to see you again.
Yeah,
and
it's
been cold. Yabanda,
it's
man.
So cold, guys. Yo. It's really cold.
It's that time of the year. Good July is entering proper winter.
Exactly.
And I'm a winter baby. Wind.
Oh, yeah, I hate winter. When is your birthday?
Mine is on the 8th, hers is on the 9th.
Oh, next July, week. Yeah. Oh, I need to be out of the country. I need a Maliama present. Oh, no. Yeah, I'm also a winter baby, like the end of May. But yeah. Like, oh, no.
No, you're not so bad.
I can't deal with winter.
I think that's why I need to chase summer next year. Chase summer.
And a lot of people, are, I mean, when you look through Instagram, lots of people are traveling.
Yeah, yes, it's so nice to see.
Sure, I'm so jealous.
I saw someone in Italy now. Gatleho. Yeah, like they're doing very nicely. Nice guys. I'm loving the content.
It's just like... Hey? Overseas, my whole Instagram team.
Right?
And I'm just like, okay.
I'm sure you're proud, Lelo.
I am. Like, all these people and black women that are like all over, guys. Like, oh man.
Keep the content
explore
coming,
this
guys.
Continent and this world.
Love it.
Yo, guys, time for KYC. Mm-hmm. Are you guys ready?
We are ready.
So, this country, the population is 42 million. Mm-hmm. And the national dish is couscous.
Okay.
You know it?
Yeah.
I don't know who the national dish is.
It's Morocco.
No, it's not Morocco.
No.
It's not Morocco. The unemployment rate stood at 11.7% in September 2018. It's, it has some of the highest temperatures in the world.
Mm-hmm.
The highest to date was 50 degrees Celsius.
Wow. Sure.
Traditionally, when you have a meal in this country, in one of their homes, mm-hmm. then you should leave a little of your food on the plate at the end, as it shows your host that they were able to feed you amply.
Wow.
Damn.
The women in this country, they contribute a larger amount to household incomes than men.
I want to live there.
They won independence from France in 1962.
Okay, so it's a Francophone country.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's...
So it's the 10th largest country in the world.
10th largest country in the world.
Okay, if I give you this this next clue, it's going to give it away. So it's
okay.
North Africa. You've established it's in North
Africa. Yeah, it's in North Africa. Yeah.
And then the president, the last president, was a president for about four terms. He resigned this year after there were protests. He had a stroke and he still wanted to run for president for the fifth term.
Oh, no.
And people started protesting and then he announced an acting president. So the acting president has said there'll be elections on the 4th of July, 2019. It is the largest country in Africa after South Sudan split from Sudan in 2011. Out of all African countries, it has the highest cost of living. No, it's not Sudan, because I guess Sudan and South Sudan, they split and then that country then became the largest in Africa.
Okay, it has to be, it's a Francophone.
It's next to Morocco. It's very close to Morocco. Oh. Petrol is cheaper than water in this country.
Wow.
I need to love it.
Okay, it's Algeria.
Algeria.
I wouldn't have thought couscous.
I wouldn't have thought,
the couscous in Algeria.
It's Algeria. I
wouldn't
win.
Even think,
yes, you win.
I was close.
Yes, you were very close. When you said Morocco, I was like, I was going to get it. Okay,
Algerian
cool.
Algerian couscous.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. I actually didn't know. I think the couscous threw me off. I did it, like, I couldn't. I was thinking, but you know what I thought?
Yes.
I thought it was one of those Morocco-ish people.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was confused because I was like, okay, I don't know which one was invaded by France.
Oh, yeah. This,
so then this, I just got really confused.
So they eat their couscous with lamb, chicken, or cooked veggies.
Lamb.
So that's like the national dish.
Lamb.
Okay, so now enough about food and Algeria and exposing your little knowledge of Africa.
I think you need to start adding like how hot the men are in the country.
Oh,
I don't really know. I haven't been around as much.
But
as
then,
you.
How hot can
the shade?
Them trees.
I was never ready. Okay, guys. Okay, I think we need to move
Algerian men hot. Are they the men they
are? Yeah,
hot.
I met like a really very good looking one.
But I think I have seen, like, you know, when the AFCON thing, the soccer.
The,
yeah, probably, I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I met some here in Melville.
Ooh. Oh, is this where they are? Mm. That's where they are. Okay.
I'll take you to the
toilet. Okay. If we talk about men, Lighten will not stop, so. here. What are we discussing in office politics?
Wow, thanks, man. That's funny. So, oh, guys, yeah, let's get serious.
Rob said we mustn't laugh into the mic.
So, wait, guys. So, Lelo said this, and then we all just swooped out of our seats.
Should we have a camera here?
Okay.
Anyway.
Sorry, okay, guys.
Politics. What are we? I see you have a nice, cute book in front of you.
Yeah, so I actually wanted to review or to take some snippets from a book that a mentor of mine recommended. Mm-hmm. And it's called Nice Girls Still Don't Get the Corner Office. So, Unconscious Mistakes Women Make That Sabotage Their Careers. And it's by Louis B. Frankel. And what I wanted to chat about, or, you know,
when was this book published?
Let's see. This one was revised and updated. So there was a first version, which was Nice Girls Don't Get the Corner Office. And now this one is Nice Girls Still Don't Get the Corner Office. So clearly we were not getting it the first time that they
I have some thoughts. But yeah.
So let's chat about it. I think there's some interesting things in that book that I wanted to pick out.
2014.
And that we chat about and discuss. Because some things just for me are just like, you know.
Yeah.
But so one thing that stood out for me while building my career, though, is that there were so many unwritten rules about the working world that I was unaware of. So there were nuances, you know, in different spaces that you're not aware of. So a lot of us go into it blindly, and we think we know because we've studied and we've graduated and we've got these degrees and these papers and these qualifications, but we don't actually realize that there are nuances or unwritten rules that are actually at play when you're starting out your career. So that's why I thought, you know what, actually, can I just make a note that I hate self-help books.
Yeah.
But when my mentor said read this, then I was like, okay, cool, let me read, let me just give it a shot. But then I was already caught by mistake number one. Then I was like, oh, damn, okay. I gotta read this. So truth is, in the reality is, in as much as our work speaks for itself, there's more at play here, guys. So I've picked out 10 mistakes, but I mean, we can always, you know, depending on our time, delve into a lot more of them. And obviously you can also go and get yourself a book yourself.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and read. Mistake number one. So let's start with mistake number one. Yeah. So mistake number one is pretending that the workplace is not a game. What are your thoughts?
I get that, though.
I do get it. I hate, hate is a strong word, but I really do hate playing games. I feel like, but you see, even though you don't want to play games, you see how people are playing games. And I'm just like, can we just do our job? Yeah. And you know, I'm not here for politics and all of that. So people do a lot of things where you can see, okay, these people are being sneaky because they want to get ahead. I think for me, as much as I notice it, I don't know if I want to play. I'm just like, I don't care, really.
Do you not think sometimes you get forced to play? Because there's instances where, you know, you're not necessarily playing the game yourself or throwing anyone under the bus or anything, but sometimes you have to defend yourself, or you have to speak for yourself. So you get forced to play it.
Exactly. Yeah. That's actually quite a good statement, that sometimes you get forced to play the game. I've been in situations where you know, like the whole thing of sissing people in email. I hate it. Especially if, like, I'm speaking to somebody and then let's say they've done something that's wrong, and I would just take it on between me and them, like, okay, cool, didn't like this, can you please fix it, and stuff like that. But then you find out that the other people, that when you do something that is wrong, they will, like, copy the whole entire thing and then give, like, their solution and make themselves look better and, like, act like the savior.
But then they look better
to the other people.
So
then it's, in those cases, I've learned how to, like, be quite quick with that. But then it's still, like, very uncomfortable, because then you end up, you don't want to also work in an environment where you feel like you need to keep a paper trail on every single conversation. Which is so exhausting. But
so in the industry I'm in, we're consultants. We always have to keep
a
paper trail.
Lashes?
No.
They look very natural in my...
Oh, thanks, girl.
Sorry for interrupting.
And they're so old, actually.
We digress.
It's normal in the office, right? Yeah. So the paper trail thing. I realized that the paper trail thing is so important because it's so easy to get thrown under the bus.
Yeah.
At any point, given time, and it's something that I've experienced in my you know, in my time working, I won't go into details, but I've experienced cases where now it's like, damn, and how am I going to cover myself? So it's always, and that CCing thing recently happened as well. And I had to, we didn't have a choice but to CC because now, like, you know, ish was hitting the fan. Yeah. And you just don't have a choice now to CC.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So there's some times where I think it is necessary, especially when people are being difficult. Like, you don't have a choice but to CC. You're not being funky, but I mean, you have to protect yourself. You're also getting a salary and you want to protect your salary, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I think I'm actually going through an experience right now where the fact that I keep emails, I don't delete emails, just has been helpful. Then somebody says, oh no, I told you to do 1, 2, 3. I'm like, no, you didn't tell me to do 1, 2, 3. It was getting turning into an argument over the phone. I'm like, okay, look, I'm not going to argue with you. This is what happened. I have an email. So how do we resolve it? So it's like, why are we going to fight about something? The one thing that I'm going to do is to argue with you when I know.
No, exactly.
When I know this is what you said. I'm not just making things up, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to, and as we're speaking, I've just forwarded you the email where you told me the opposite of what you're saying now. So how are we going to resolve it?
Yeah.
And you just, because I'm just like, anyway, people.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I am worried though of people who just randomly start CCing bosses in instructions.
Yeah. Hashem, I do CC them. If you are not responding, and I've been like waiting for a response.
Yeah, I think that's normal. If I have to force you, then yes. If it's one of those, but if it's a situation where you're just sending me, you just send me that one email, that first email, and you're CCing my boss, for me it's a message to say I don't trust you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so. The reality here is, guys, or the book says that the game does have rules.
Mm-hmm.
There's boundaries, strategies, winners and losers.
Mm-hmm.
And you can decide where you fall in the picture. Like, Lilo decided that she doesn't want to play. Mm-hmm. Others decided that they want to play.
I feel like, you know what? It's not, I don't want to play politics. Can my job just speak for itself?
Exactly.
Unfortunately, not everybody has the luxury of saying my job will speak for itself. Mm-hmm. But
happiness. Because the truth is, guys, sometimes it's not even... I've noticed that it's not always the work that actually gets people promoted either.
No, it's your attitude. It's your attitude. And just, I think we're digressing a little, but I just want to think this. But have you realized that sometimes people would rather work with somebody who is pleasant to work with, even if though they might be just good and not excellent? But then people don't want people who are like backstabbers and drama.
Yeah.
So sometimes like your character, say, it does a lot for you.
Actually, I never thought of that. Mm. That's a good one. Mistake number 2, sitting out the social network game, right? So on the last episode, you guys would have noticed that we chatted about social media accounts and using them correctly. But in this instance, they're saying, you know, for people who don't have social media presence at all, you might actually be at a disadvantage too. So it's actually on page 35, Lilo, if you want to go there.
I don't agree.
Because what they're saying is, in an age, in a digital age that we're in now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not having, so you know, like how our lawyer last week said she doesn't have any social media accounts, social media. Whereas in this case, your social media presence is almost like a CV, an online CV.
Mm-hmm.
So they say even if you do have the social media pages, use them correctly. But you must have some sort of presence that kind of gives people an idea of who you are.
And
it's almost like your CV. Mm-hmm. So if, for example, you're a travel podcaster, you know, I must go onto your platforms and see that. Oh my gosh,
it depends what role you are in.
Yeah, I think it did. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Exactly. Because it's sounding more like a credit check. Like, you might not have debt, but we don't know if you can pay it back.
And it's tricky because for the mere fact that they're adding these sort of things in, and years ago it wasn't the case.
Yeah.
So, you guys can play around with that one. But I wanted to raise it because I know that it's a bit of a... We're on the fence with that one.
We're on the fence, yeah.
Mistake number 3, doing other people's work for them.
Yeah.
That if I don't do it, no one else will. Yeah. Attitude. Especially won't get you anywhere.
Especially when you become a new manager and you just don't trust your team that they do the work the way they're supposed to.
It's literally, that's what I'm going through at work. And I think, unfortunately, I've realized that it's... Fortunately, I've realized that it's a mistake that I've taken and it's actually cost me a lot of things. Like, for example, for me, trust is a big thing with my team. So if I don't trust people, then I'll end up doing the work that I'm not supposed to be doing because I know that I'll do it faster and better and whatnot. But I've realized that in doing that, I've neglected some parts of my work, which is actually not a good thing.
You're supposed
to
be doing the strategic
stuff. And then to my bosses, because they don't know what's happening on the ground, it looks like I'm not delivering. So I've really learned that the hard way.
It's funny how everything just has like a ripple effect.
Because
when the higher you go, you have to unfortunately start looking at strategic stuff and, you know, start thinking about pipelines and business and how to take the team forward.
Get out of the detail.
Yeah. But sometimes it's also hard when the people who are supposed to be focused on the detail aren't focused on the detail, and then you have to now focus on help them focus on the detail and still focus on your job.
Yeah.
And. But the book refers to careerists and achievers.
Mm-hmm.
So achievers keep busy, and careerists spend time managing their careers. So stop volunteering for lower impact jobs that shouldn't be doing, Lighten.
Yes.
So contrary to what we normally told, like, I know I always hear, like, I've been to an interview where they were like, so I asked them about, will I have a team to work with or will they be? They're like, no, here we don't have people who do admin. You have to do your own admin and. So a lot of times, a lot of jobs or companies will say to you, no, you have to do your own little odd jobs, whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. But ideally, you know, if you have a team, delegate.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think a good leader is able to delegate.
It's also to grow them, right? So, you know, if you get them to do the stuff, then they, oh no, he trusts me, he believes in me, I don't want to disappoint him because he's now giving me this task that he used to do, you know? So it's also just to help them grow, and because you also want them to be independent so that you're not always watching over what they do.
Yeah.
So it takes time and, you know, to let go. I also had to walk a journey. I was like, I need to get out of the detail. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it takes
the good thing is you now know.
Yeah, now I know what the problem is. Yeah. Exactly.
And then there's this one that everyone is so guilty of, or most people are guilty of. I'm definitely guilty of, and that's working without a break. That's mistake number four.
Sorry, I can't relate.
No, Miss Aeroplane cannot relate.
Oh. Okay. You know, like, over the weekend, I had this thing that was due on Friday that I needed to do. And I was like, okay, cool. I took my laptop. My laptop is there. If I go to my bedroom, I go to the bedroom with my laptop. It's in the bag. If I go to the lounge, I go down. Do you know? Do you think I ever opened that laptop?
I was going
because there was this thing that I needed to do by Friday. Yeah. I needed to submit. There's two things. Yeah. I needed to submit by Friday. But I was like, I know. I'll speak to this person. I'll submit on Monday. Because I was like, okay, no, I'm not opening my laptop.
I'm exactly like that. On the weekend, I'm like, oh, let me open my laptop.
Yeah.
All I did was, the only thing I literally did was literally prepare for this podcast. Yeah. That's all I did. And then I was like, nah, I don't need to do that.
I was watching Netflix.
It's so hard. And that's only this year that I started that, because I realized that, look, dude, the world's not, the company's not going to.
Thank you.
Burn.
Thank you.
If you're just watching TV for the
I was
day.
Like, if these things are late, is the world going to fall apart? No.
Exactly.
Okay, Amanda.
Exactly.
And if you can get an extension, get it. Like,
you know, and because my thing was, if I submitted on Friday evening after I got home,
they weren't
when
going
was
to
this person
going to
look at this thing?
Exactly.
They were not going to. So, exactly. No, Monday.
although some people are quite sneaky, or when you want to, like, look busy or look like, you know what, some people don't work in the day and then want to send emails at 8 in the evening. Like, what are you doing?
Reminders and when to send an email. Like, at
like
12,
you could have sent this at 4 p.m.
I used to work for a boss who sends emails at 3 a.m. Oh. And Napela, I can't get to work early. So I would wake up, couple 6:30, 7:00, go to my, I had emails on my phone. I would go to my phone, I would respond to the emails and then sleep again.
I mean, you think you know what? I'm on here. I'm working. I was working before I got to the office.
Exactly.
Way.
But I also used to do that, like, and then previous employer. But then also,
also disclaimer, previous employer.
Good disclaimer, previous employer.
But it also was the same thing where people like email you something at 12 a.m. and they're like, when am I supposed to? So like, I'll look at it and then I'm like, okay, cool, I'm working from home. But then I spent like an hour and everything, and then I'm just like, okay, I'm gonna take my time to get to work.
But you see, the thing is, you set a precedent if you keep responding at 1 a.m. Now the person's going to expect you to be responding at
that is true.
I'm going to respond when I get to the office.
Exactly.
And then you can't be dropping everything and I was just for you. No, guys. You know, there's certain things you learn as you go along and you'll see for yourself.
There is somebody that I know that actually puts their out of office every day.
Yeah.
Like, when they're not at the office, just to make sure that if you email them after work, they are not answering. And it's like, okay. Sorry, Kay.
No, that's too much. No, I'm not going to do that. And then there's mistake number five, which is sharing too much information. Mm. Right. And I'm also on the fence with this one. So they say that They say we should be careful about sharing too much information about our personal mm-hmm. lives, as it creates a room for judgment by colleagues and bosses.
That's true.
That is
however,
true.
My concern is sometimes our personal lives tend to affect us massively in the workplace. So like when you are finding yourself in a meeting and you're wanting to cry or whatever the case is, they want to know what's wrong. Or, you know, like a friend of mine was telling me that her colleague who recently resigned would always cry in the back room because of marital problems. Sure. But she wouldn't, when she'd ask her, because she's her manager, and when she'd ask her what's wrong, and she'd obviously tell her, well, you're not married, so you won't relate. But, you know.
Without telling what I get it, the manager was asking because they could see exactly. It's affecting you. And
so
maybe there's,
so that's what I'm saying, I'm on the fence, because what happens in a case, I mean, I know that when my dad wasn't well, it kind of, it hit me hard, because then I had so much going on at work at the same time, and then my dad's not well, and I'm having to move, and then there's this, and then there's that. Mm-hmm. And then there was something that triggered, and then I just like flipped, and I was in tears, because I was just like, geez, I'm trying.
Yeah.
I'm trying, and you...
But I think, I mean, there's a difference between don't share too much information and don't confide in your manager if there's something that's affecting you, and might possibly also affect your work. There's things like, you can't just be sharing about how much you love threesomes at work. You don't care.
Oh, and there's people who do.
Yes, there are people who will tell you, ooh, last night, we don't want to know, you know?
Exactly.
So I think there's a limit in terms of what you can openly share. And also, yes, you might have a friend where you're close and you guys share stuff, or now we must know that you've got a new boyfriend or that you broke up. We must know your entire life story. And there are people who just love talking about their kids. Oh my God.
Yeah, no, we don't have a choice but to listen to them.
Yeah, but so it's just like, just keep it to a minimum. And people who are like chatty, you want to work, which is why I never understood why people want to wear headphones and things at work. But so now you get it, because there are those people who will go on and on and on. Oof.
Yeah.
No, I get
actually
that.
Have at work.
And I've read body language.
Yes, and read body language. Yes. That's important thing. I think people do not know how to read body
or
language.
Or room. They don't know how to read a room in there.
Exactly, yeah. And I've got like at work, I actually implemented a word. If I say a banana, that means that you have talked me out. Yeah, so I literally, because I had to, because there's some people at my work.
And it had to be a banana.
It had to be a banana. No, it's just like, I just thought of a word, and that was the first thing that I was saying.
It had to be a banana.
It had to be a banana.
But then it was just like,
driving me bananas.
It's a lot. But like, you know, I agree with Lelo. Like, if whatever you're going through will potentially affect your work, I think you need to disclose that.
Yeah.
Because then that allows your manager or your team
to
work around on you. And if you need to be alleviated of like things that are too much pressure, then so be it. Then people can work around, you know, and be sensitive to your situation. And also, like, it helps, let's say if you mess up, it helps that like your boss, let's say your boss is a shouter, which is not allowed, but then they will know how to approach you if you are like going through like a sensitive time. So, you know, I think sharing stuff like that is quite important. But in
all this other stuff,
yes, all this other stuff, no. I actually worked with a person who used to say a lot of things about their partner and stuff, like abuse and whatnot, and then the next day they'll be like in love and the partner is dropping off lunch and flowers. And it was so confusing that management actually had to ask them to stop sharing. Because then a lot of people were gossiping about it, and it was just crazy. And then a lot of people were judging her from, you know, because
And it's normal, we're humans. Because also, if someone hurts you, as much as I have to respect that, it will still affect me that, you know, someone's hurting someone close to me or my friend or whatever the case is. Although I'll always respect whatever you have, but I mean, there is some sort of, there's a little bit of attachment because you're my girl's man, you know. So I do understand that. Yeah, and and at some point, there was a time when I had to think about it as well, because my friend and I work in the same company. So we were friends before we worked in the same company.
Yeah.
So obviously we've always been close and we know each other's lives inside and out. And we would probably share too much. Mm-hmm. And then I thought about, and then I realized, and I told her, you know what, I think we share too much too much about our personal life or our outside life. So that's why we blocked everyone, for example, on our social media, but we also stopped. We hardly talk to each other now in the office. We used to talk to each other a lot, and then, you know, talk about, yo, chow me, you know, but now it's as if like we're not even friends at work, because we just so
and
we used to share too much, I think.
Yeah.
I get that.
Cool.
And then there's this thing, you know, the rule is when you're eating at the dinner table, no hands.
No elbows on the table.
Elbows on the table. So it seems there are people who make the mistake, again, body language, the point that you're making, Sitting in a mistake number six is sitting in a meeting with your hands under the table. So instead of you see like how I have my hands now currently, it makes you look a little bit intimidated as opposed to having so when you're nervous and then no one takes you seriously. So also try and avoid, because there's a lot of people who are confident, or even with men as well, especially you notice how they come forward when they speak.
They take up the whole space.
And they take up the whole space because I'm speaking and you will listen to me. So when you like that person who has their hands under the table, or you know, you
and you know there are people who like will interrupt you. You're saying something and they will interrupt you. Don't stop talking. Keep talking.
Even if
it becomes awkward, because some people can be overpowering and you're trying to say something and then they always interrupt. I've seen it happen, and sometimes you just want to say, you know, keep talking, but obviously then the person will stop. Or you see this person, okay, that was me at some point, where you try say something in the meeting, but all the other people are loud, be loud as well.
Exactly.
But obviously.
Yeah, because you see.
That is actually quite good, because then I become very passive aggressive, so which is not good. Like, it's actually the worst, because I usually say, do you need the floor? And then it just makes it 10 times awkward. So I actually need to just continue talking.
I can't imagine saying that, and then it's going to be like, ooh,
and
spicy.
It's okay to say, no, please, can you, please let me finish.
Yeah.
Yes, it's okay. And then you actually shock them. Please let me finish. I find myself doing that in meetings, but no, please let her finish, or please let him finish. Because there are people who are quiet, and then there are people who are like out there, and they like, you know. So it's actually, you either continue talking, otherwise you say, please let me finish.
Yes.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
I think, and it's only right, guys, that we, so even at school or at Gibbs, it's not advertising, sorry. So one of our lecturers was actually, gave us one of the lectures was about exactly that, like being conscious of the fact that you need to wait for someone to finish speaking. So we've got this very bad habit as human beings of trying to finish each other's sentences. And sometimes what you say is actually not what, or what I end up finishing for you is not what you really wanted to say. And now you've just losing my whole argument to what I'm trying to say. So it's quite difficult for us to do as humans, I've realized. But every time I do it, I realize that I've just done it. And then I'm like, you know what? Hold yourself back. Like, don't, you know, don't get yourself involved in someone else's sentence. Like, shush, let them finish, and then you'll get your chance to speak.
Exactly. And it's also like borders around like emotional intelligence and also reading the room. Like we've said, like, if you know that somebody is timid and they're quiet, don't interrupt them, because you actually make it harder for them to, because then some people get thrown off their points quite easily. So like, let's say if you end up talking to talk and be like, oh, you can continue, and that person doesn't even know where they were because they're that distracted. So it's also quite important to, you know, to be cognizant of that.
Because that's what you want to grow your team, or you want to grow the people that you work with, right?
You know what I find myself doing as well sometimes, because sometimes you are maybe disagreeing with like whatever everybody else around the table is agreeing on. I would like be like, okay, I just want to say that I don't agree, but we don't have to discuss it. It's okay. Because 1, 2, 3, and then let's move on.
Yeah, because or you can take it offline.
Yeah.
I like that. Can you please take that offline?
No, but everything goes offline and we never get to hear the feedback.
Oh, that's also true.
Yes.
So you guys want the knockout, the KO in the room. Yeah. Okay, and then mistake number 7, not soliciting feedback or ignoring the feedback that you do get. So everyone is certain most times that their opinion is the right one. However, we are not, and at times we need the feedback from others, which will help us become better employees and better managers for those who are managers. The feedback thing was a hard pill to swallow at some point.
But it's very important, it's necessary
very necessary thing to do. So I recently did like this long 360 degree assessment thing.
Oh,
where
I'm
you
scared
have
of
to,
reading 360s about myself.
Oh,
I know I'm gonna get. I know what I'm gonna read.
I just knew
things away.
I knew exactly what my manager's comment was. Like, it's annoying, but you can see. It's like,
yes.
Ulelolo.
Yeah, I know. This is lightened.
Yeah.
And the mature part where you want to get to is to not care where it came from.
Yes.
Just to
exactly
what it says.
Yeah.
And take what you think is valid.
And it's interesting interesting because in those sort of assessments, you see a pattern. Yeah. So the people are not sitting in a group and assessing, but for the mere fact that there's a pattern, it means that there's something that you need to look into. Yeah.
And then there'll be that one comment that goes right or left, and you're like, okay, no, this one I'm going to discard. Because you also can't be able to work on everything on that feedback. Mm. You pick what's relevant, what's critical to what you have to do in that space.
But also when you give someone feedback, guys, try not to take one incident into consideration. Yeah. Like some people take one incident where we fought, and then they make it like, yeah, actually, she is a BITCH. Yeah. No, I'm not. She said we fought that one time. I apologize. And it was over. Because that's one point that one of my classmates made. Like, oh my gosh, someone raised an issue that, you know, where we had a bit of a tiff. And then but I apologized about it, but they still brought it up. And I thought we were over it.
Yeah.
And so why would they bring it up again?
It's either that or people that have a problem with you, but then they don't tell you. Clearly, they have a problem. Oh, yes. You don't have a problem.
That's also a chance for them to.
That's like also one of those things. But I also like to, actually get feedback from people, like just in general, like work related and actually non work related. Because sometimes you get so into your habits that you don't even catch something. So it's actually quite good to...
Reflection's good.
To reflect. And, you know, you might agree or disagree.
I mean, even
as long as...
Yeah, even with friendships. I think it's almost like friendships should also go through that little process of feedback sessions. Like, how did I make you feel today?
Exactly. Funny enough, guys, like, I actually have... With people in my life, I do have a bit. Sometimes it's not like as overtly, but then sometimes it's like I'll just check in to see because I like to trim people. I just cut out people from my life.
Oh wow! Oh, you know what? You're the scissors. What's that cartoon thing with the scissors? Scissors hands or something? I must remember that. That's old. Depending on how old you are, you'll know it.
And what's mistake number eight?
Oh, eight. Oh, look at him. Okay, so mistake number eight is being modest. So there's a time and a place for modesty. Mm-hmm. When you get a compliment and you throw in a, it really wasn't anything type of comment. Why do we do that? Mm. You know, why do we do that?
And I think it's like humility. We were so used, we were brought up in this thing of not being boastful and whatever. So it's part of that, but it's just, being able to accept. It's the same thing as like when someone says, oh, your skirt is nice, and they're like, oh no, it was so cheap. It's the same thing.
Oh yes,
as
actually
that.
I do that a lot.
So
all you have to do is say thank you
for the compliment, and that's it.
I didn't realize, I actually do that a lot. So when someone says, oh my gosh, your skin is so good, and then I go on to explain, I was on medication for 7 years and I was struggling, and then I'm going on and they actually didn't ask that.
Exactly.
Shucks.
All they said was, you look beautiful.
I have learned very hard. Like, personally, I've learned that lesson. And this is why these days you say, you look nice. I'm like, yes, I know.
I know, darling.
So, actually, and I was going to read an excerpt from the book, but I don't think it's necessary. I think you guys should get the book and read it.
Yeah.
But it explains exactly how you can also stuff up, you know, opportunities in the workplace by being modest in that nature. So, get the book, guys, and then read it.
Because...
Page 192.
It also doesn't instill confidence. I've realized, because I've got a problem at work, I'm not, like, I'm very modest. I think it's also that whole humility thing. Mm-hmm. You don't want to blow the horn. You don't want to be the attention thing.
Meanwhile, people are getting ahead because they are blowing their own horn.
Exactly.
Even for work that you did.
Exactly. And then that's where things come, especially in advertising. People will send an email, but a client will comment them, and then they'll forward it to the whole company.
Oh, yes. I find that so odd.
I know, I find it odd. But then I was just like,
I prefer if my manager does it. I wouldn't, if someone compliments me.
No, now
so
I start doing it.
You can appreciate how good they are as
now
I get shy. I get shy. So I ask whoever else was in there. I was like, no, you can send it. Because I get shy to forward an email.
Because you know what? Like, I, at my previous company, I never used to do it. That's when I started learning that, like, I was being too modest. I never used to do it. And most of the time, then I'll send it to my manager. And then she will send it, but then she will say, look at our team. So it will be like a team effort instead of an individual thing. And most of the time it's purely individual. So it's just like, okay, no, I'm not going to do that. And it's,
Yes, it's
And then they'll give, like, the whole team, like, leave days. Like one leave day, if you do like something really exceptional, you used to get like a leave day.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
And then I'm like, no, actually, you could have given me 4 leave days.
How team spirit? Where's the team spirit?
Yeah, you know, no, it's also spirit. Best. Because the thing is, in as advisors or yeah. consulting, or whatever, the reality is we're behind the scenes. So, yeah. but there's a team behind the scenes. So
exactly.
Because when ish hits the fan. We have to take it as a team. Exactly. On good days, we also have to take it as a team.
Yeah,
right?
yeah
that's what I always try and let my team know that.
That is true.
On good days, be happy. On bad days, take it on.
Yeah.
So failing to also define your brand is a mistake that we make. One, it also affects you when you go to job interviews because when they ask you, define who is Lighten mm-hmm. and you don't have and you're fumbling. People, a lot of people don't actually prepare for that question and it's a question that comes up all, the time. But why are you not preparing for it? So I think that's. I'm not understanding exactly what you're good at mm-hmm. and what you can bring to the business or to the organization or the company is also a fail, mm-hmm. a big fail. So
what happens? Can I pop a question? What happens if you're not sure? Let's say I'm just playing devil's advocate because I've been doing interviews lately and I noticed that there's somebody who is like brilliant, like in terms of like the work that they've done. But when I asked them that, they really were not sure about who they and I could tell it's not that they were not sure about who they are, but then they were not confident in particularly representing one facet of what they do as the best that they are at. If that makes sense.
Who are you? Is that the question? Who are you?
Tell us about yourself
and who are you? It's such a broad. I think if someone is struggling with answering that question in the interview, try maybe narrow it a bit down.
Yeah. Like,
okay, what type of person are you at work? What do you enjoy most about? You know, just to kind of channel them in the right direction.
I think
what
you should
do
it,
when you are at work, even when you're not at work. So like, yes, obviously. Tell us about yourself, like comes up in every you can't even research without coming up without that question it's coming up so
true.
But obviously it's very difficult because it hasn't always been easy for us to talk about ourselves because of this thing of humility and whatever so I kind of feel like just help. I mean, also, we're not there to catch people out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right? That's true.
Just help them in terms of the direction that you really are wanting to hear from.
So that's interesting. So interviewers, please, did you take note?
Yes.
And then mistake number 10, I think this was our last one. Not asking questions for fear of sounding stupid. But then there's also the other side of the fence of people who ask so much that they don't have.
Oh my gosh.
That was like, they can't be trusted.
Mm.
So I've seen people who ask so much, even the slightest thing that they, a decision that they could have just made on their own, which is minuscule. Mm-hmm. And then they go to the partner or the whatever, the big boss to say, oh, can I send this email? Like, dude, use your, because people like that also don't get ahead because why? Exactly. What do you think is a, because usually when someone comes to me and says, Kia, I saw this, what should I do? I ask, my first question is, what would you do? Mm-hmm. Because the answer's there. I don't know if it's a, confidence thing or...
When I was an intern, when I first started working in advertising, I used to work with a woman who worked for a production department. She was so rough, but she was so good. She taught me like a lot of things that I know now because I would ask her questions all the time. Mm. And she said to me one day, she was like, Lighten, what happens if I'm not there? So when you email me, tell me this is what you want to ask. This is my suggestion.
Yes.
Can you add on to it or am I in the right lane?
Yes.
And I feel like that has like taken me, like that has grown me.
Actually, that's
a
good one.
You can be people outsource thinking now.
Yes, the actually.
Manager is there now, you know.
Exactly. Outsource thinking. That's actually the best.
That's the best way to put it. Like, can you not think for yourself?
Yeah, because it also like interprets like you're a lazy person.
Yeah, you're a lazy thinker or you don't want to think.
Think, exactly.
Okay. Okay, cool. So, okay, guys. So, what are some of the rules that we are missing but should be playing by, right? Mm-hmm. And this is the game that we're talking about.
Yeah.
So, guys, please use the hashtag #TheOfficePodcast and let's continue the conversation on social media. I'd like to know what do you think, what are the nuances that we're missing or young graduates maybe should be aware of or new employees or, you know, what are the cases. So let us know. And if you want to get the book, please do get the book. It's titled Nice Girls Still Don't Get the Corner Office. And I mean, there's some stuff that guys can read too. So if your brother or your cousin or whatever wants to read it too, they can read it too.
I mean, like, I'm here and I can relate.
You see, I think there's so many things that anybody can from this book can read. It's not just for girls, but obviously, women. You know, these are unconscious mistakes that women make.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's relatable for everyone. So,
exactly.
All right. That was it.
Thank you so much for that. Thank you so much, Kia.
Had a good one. Yeah, it was a good one.
Good discussion. Lighten, do you have some tea for us?
Yes.
Okay.
I've got tea with 3 spoons of sugar.
No, that's too much.
Let's take a quick break and we'll be back with Tea with Lighten. Welcome back. Time for tea with Lighten.
Hello, guys. As promised, tea time with 3 spoons of sugar. The first spoon.
I quit sugar. Yes.
I said I quit too.
Oh, no, guys.
For tonight only.
It's fine, sugar. Okay, I'll make it honey.
Okay.
Or xylitol. Yeah. But anyways, this is the first time. I don't know if you've got her, if you guys have heard, but Kim Kardashian West is releasing a solution where. Brand called Kimono.
Oh, I saw that.
I don't know if you've heard anything about that, but anyway, so I let me just it. Like give you like a little bit of tidbit.
Is this like
that.
The step in?
Yes, yes, it's basically like Spanx.
Spanx.
Oh, is that what it's called? Like step in?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we called it back in our day.
Oh my God.
You were not born yet.
Step in.
Step in.
Step in or step out.
I cannot.
But it holds things together.
Yeah, it holds things together. And you know, it's quite interesting. When she released the photos, there's some things that would have like a full leg and one would have like an underway line. Oh. If you're wearing a slits. Yes, so that you don't, it doesn't show.
And we will not get it here in South Africa.
Yeah, exactly. No, you can always ship it. Yeah.
Customs.
But, yeah, exactly. Customs is a problem. But anyway, so.
Rihanna must release it, then we'll buy it.
See?
Fenty.
Fenty. So, Kim is releasing the solution where, so, you know, it's called Kimono, and we know what a kimono is, like the Japanese. Yes. Thing. So obviously there was backlash over the use of the name from Japanese people and from a lot of people, and they're saying it's like cultural appropriation. And it's very offensive and inappropriate.
Why is it offensive?
I didn't get that thing when people were saying that it's offensive. I also didn't get the cultural appropriation thing because it's actually not even a kimono. It's like undergarment. I get like the name in terms of the name. What I think was the problem is that when Kim got the name copyright.
So she trademarked it.
Yeah,
like
trademarked it.
That's the problem.
But it was so intense that even if people in Japan could potentially get in trouble with using the name without any licensing.
Oh, no, then that's so, a tricky part.
So that was a tricky
part. I think there's something as well here that in South Africa that we have an issue with as well. I need to actually just check it out. I think it's either something to do with the Lion King and something was trademarked and then something. There's something that I'll Google it and I'll show you guys, but it's something similar to the story. Yeah. And then people are like, but how are South Africans now supposed to use that word if it's being trademarked by international organizations and now we're stuck?
Guys, I'm waiting for Kim to come and tell us we can't call Northwest. We must call it another province. Like, seriously.
Right.
It's possible. Are they trademarking everything?
They're trademarking everything. Which is actually quite interesting because they couldn't, in the courts and the US didn't grant Cardi B with a trademark for Okrur, but then they granted trademark for Okrur.
Okrur.
Yeah, you know, she always says Okrur.
So she wants to say she wants a trademark. Oh my gosh, guys.
Too much time and money.
But then, but anyway, so Kim went on, I think on the news, and she said that she wouldn't change the name, but then as of today she has released a statement saying that she is very sensitive to the fact that
it was
offense. That's what I'm thinking, guys. I'm like, they have good lawyers. What were the and she's studying law, so she should know better.
So what is she renaming it?
No, yes, she says she'll relaunch the product line with under a different name because she always thinks about inclusivity and all of those things. Basically,
do they not have advisors? Like, you know, people are gonna like go crazy.
Exactly.
First of all, you are Kim Kardashian.
I don't think they cared. They definitely didn't care. It was a classic case of would I make money off it?
It was to cause. To get attention.
Oh, exactly.
Actually, that's
like, now we all know what the kimono is about. Yeah, and then you know,
actually,
we know what
those people. Kris Jenner ain't playing. Kris Jenner knows the game.
You know
that play the game we were talking about in office.
Yes. Oh, there you go.
Kris Jenner plays the game.
Yeah,
and like you know those memes that always says the devil works hard, but Kris Jenner works harder.
She's good.
Yeah, but anyway, so that was it.
Kim.
Yeah, that's Kim. Today, so anyway, let's.
They're always in the news. These Kardashians.
They're good.
Which is good because that's how they have been leveraging their brand for the last 10 years.
With their broken hearts and all.
Anyway, from another Kardashian to another sensation. I know, I like this guy, guys. Like, I'm ashamed to say that I do, but I actually do. Lil Nas X. Do you know him?
Oh, I saw him taking a picture with Rihanna or something.
The Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yeah, it's the Billy Ray Cyrus country rapper. So basically, Lil Nas X is a rapper. He's 20 years old. He released a song called Old Town Road. And it's a country rap song.
Oh, let me look
and
for
it was
it.
Oh, it was such a controversy around that song. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, that one. And we don't have money to license that song yet and sing all of it.
It's not like it's a nice singing. So leave me alone.
I'm so shady today.
Thank you. Protecting my rights.
Lil Nas, and when he came out, there was like a lot of controversy because the country stations wouldn't play his song because they thought it wasn't country enough. But it was also, you know, the whole like black thing and country music and whatnot. But anyway, Billy Ray Cyrus jumped on the remix of the song and it was legitimized. And,
oh, is that right?
Yeah,
the
exactly. That's
stuff.
Why he got into the song, because he was supporting him because country wouldn't play his music. And as a country artist, you jump on it. So then, you know, everyone started picking up the song. And it's been on number one Billboard chart for 11 weeks now.
Oh, because Bafaga Umlungu.
Yeah,
who legitimized it?
Who legitimized
it? It's like, a gospel artist, you release a song and you call it hip hop, and like, we're like, nah, it's not hip hop, we're not gonna play it. Yes. And then Kaspar Nyovest or AKA gets on the song, now all of a sudden hip hop stations are playing
exactly.
the song.
Yeah,
so it's, I don't think it's less about the race and more about the fact that he's like a well known country musician.
Because then that means country music needs to evolve.
Yeah, but you know, I also think it's like, they just default to, and as much as not about race, there's a little thing about it too, because Taylor Swift doesn't necessarily sing country now. It's all pop, but she tops the country radio. Chance. So it's like, you know, it's like, where do you draw the line?
Then if you go, what should you do on the left and just exactly. go on the right?
Taylor Swift announcing last week. I just saw people are saying Taylor Swift is gonna announce something, but I didn't get to see.
Oh no, she released a music video. About like girl empowerment, but she's not relevant, so that's good. That's fine.
Just wondering.
Anyway, speaking back to Lil Nas X. So Lil Nas X, yesterday, you know, it was the last day of Gay Pride Month, and he basically announced in not so many words that he's gay.
Oh.
On Twitter.
Oh.
And now, the funny thing is that now people are literally like laughing and saying that all these like straight homophobes love his music. And now they're just going to be like, And then people are like, Lil Nas X thought, let me screw people up, be gay, and be a country singer, and get them to support me and come out at the end of Gay Month, when I've been topping the charts for 11 weeks.
Speaking of Gay Month and whatever, I was just seeing these New York pictures from the
Pride
Month. It was
so beautiful.
Neil Patrick Harris?
Yeah.
Oh, I love following him and his
and
husband.
His family,
so now they had these pictures with their kids at Pride, and they're all wearing, it's just beautiful
it's just
to watch.
So beautiful, It was. Anyway. I have to say, I've been to a Pride once, and I've always like when I say it's now,
I've never been. I've never been.
Yeah, like I've been to a Pride once, and I'm gay. That is a tragedy.
Yeah. But I think when you see them, they don't do them anymore in SA. Do they still do?
I think they do. But then I don't think that as
it was
festive.
In Melrose this year. It was in Melrose.
But they used to be very festive.
They used to be
like so big.
Yeah, and I would see pictures like, I'm gonna go.
I know that it ended at Melrose sometimes.
Yes. Do you know what happened in SA? Please don't kill me, fellow gays. But what happened is that they split the prides. There's basically like the Soweto Pride, and then there's like the Pride from the North.
Pride.
So, you know, it's like, and which is very.
It's divisive.
It's divisive. Yes. But also.
Let's just have one and
make it super big and make it super good and include everybody. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. And I think that was
maybe
it.
That's
hopefully they'll revive it again. I really think it's a cool thing. Man.
Yeah. I hope so too. Yeah. I hope so too. See, we actually have spoken about something else. But anyway, it's like just wrapping up on Lil Nas X. So we basically know that he's gay now. And I actually am I wonder what's going to happen. I wonder if his song is going to get off the charts. Because a lot of people have been releasing singles back to back. Like Taylor Swift, they haven't been able to knock him out. Like a lot of people, he's literally held onto that spot. He's broken records that were held by Drake before. Wow. He's been really, really, really doing well. But you know, unfortunately, there's like, being gay and being a rap star, it's really doesn't.
Or maybe, I mean, after 11 weeks, so maybe it is really was just time. Time, yeah. For him to get off the charts. So yeah. Now, if he does get off, we'll say it's
Let's monitor it and see. Let's monitor it and see. Let's see, like, his popularity. Mm. Yeah. But, yeah, but then that's.
Is that it?
That's that. But then I have, like, something local that I need to talk about.
Right. Get off your chest.
Get off my chest, guys. Like, I know it was, like, on.
I get off my chest.
Yeah.
But that's what he said.
Yes. That's what he said. Okay, so I know we've literally heard about this all the time and all you know, and every time, but I don't want to specifically speak about this particular topic. I just want to speak about something that happened between the two people, right? Mm-hmm. So I know, like, last week there was this conversation on Twitter around colorism.
Oh, yes.
And about, like, you know, light-skinned actresses getting so much, you know.
The one that I couldn't follow because one half of that conversation had blocked me.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know what was going on until the next day.
Exactly. But then, so.
It carried on for like two days.
No, like, it went in. But, you know, like, what I realized, and if you haven't, if you don't remember or don't recall, Paul Tusi was also in the middle of the colorism debate, and Bonnie Hannah jumped in and basically I've been reading Ibex and Dimples. It still has the old name, sorry, but it is. And then she jumped in, and then, like, you know,
Does it have the henna surname on the outside of the title? Oh no!
Yeah, I know.
Oh, that's why women must keep their surname.
Exactly. Okay. Actually, yeah, it does have like married name. Mm. Yeah. But anyway, so and then Bonnie, she jumped in, and then basically, you know, had a few things to say about, you know, but I felt like her response was very general. It wasn't towards Paul, but then I also get that it was a response to Paul. Yeah,
anyway, yeah, it was too convenient.
It was too convenient. Yes,
the but, timing, reckon, just, but guys, we all know it was directed.
Yeah, it was definitely. But then, guys, my thing that I didn't like about that whole exchange, the colorism aside, which Kanye Bao had a few cents to speak about today, but I was just like...
Was she tweeting about it today?
No, she was in an interview about, like, how she gets what... But she had a good point, though. She said she gets what Paul was trying to articulate. And she said Paul was trying to articulate the fact that she is tired of being typecast as this, like, pretty light-skinned chick, and she doesn't get, like, the roles that she necessarily might want because of how she looks. So I get that. But then she still gets a lot of work.
Oh, you know,
she might still get a lot of work, but she might not get the quality of work that she wants.
Oh, is that the issue here?
Exactly.
It's like the Viola Davis. They also saying they can't get the other roles because of how they look.
Look, exactly. So I'm like, yeah. Is that what's going on? It's just, you know, it is what it is. It's just, you know, there's, I don't know what we can do.
Now it makes sense. Because, you know, now it makes sense why Bonnie made the 12 years a slave example. She said something about, would you play a slave or something in 12 years a slave? Or something like that. And I was like, I was so confused because I wasn't following
the conversation online.
But I mean.
Yeah. But guys, what I wanted to speak about, like, very quickly, because I know we're running out of time, is that, when Pearl started mentioning basically the private conversations that she had with Bonnie and Bully, I just felt like that
she broke the friendship.
It was not even if they were not friends, I just felt like it wasn't what to speak about on Twitter. And I get that, like, sometimes you're upset, but I think there's some things that need to stay off. Like, basically, speaking of fighting fair, what do you think is fighting fair?
Fighting fair is, let's deal with the matter at hand. Don't bring up stuff that I've told you in confidence, because I told you that stuff in confidence for a reason. I noticed that. And then I was even like, damn, like, that was foul play. Like, that wasn't playing fair. That's like in a boxing ring, taking off your gloves and hitting someone with a knife, you know, stabbing someone with a knife. That was like so unnecessary. Yeah. Like, it wasn't what we were talking about today. But because I feel like Pearl didn't have a comeback, or she didn't know what else to say, now she's just like, okay, cool, I'm going to go for the jugular.
Yeah.
And I'm going to... bring, like, no, it was an ex-girl, ex-girl, bye.
I don't want to say anything because I don't want to get blocked.
you get blocked by one of them, so.
Okay, I can pick up from who it is.
But anyway, so, like,
I
fall, like,
I don't want to get blocked again now, like, the other is already...
No, I like them both, though.
I like them both. Like, I actually like them both.
And you know why I got blocked?
Because you lost.
No! Bonnie blocked me because Zamani wrote an article on JC about her book. Yeah. It's eye bags and what?
And dimples.
And dimples. Yeah. Zamani called it eye rolls and and pimples.
No.
Zamani wrote an article called, I read the book is eye bags and dimples. Yes. He called the article eye rolls and pimples.
Oh my God.
And Zamani's, I got blocked, so rude. Only because I owned the website where this article was published.
So in our head, you guys discussed this and cleared
it. Yes. Yeah. So, like, I had nothing to do with that, but anyway. Yeah. So yes, I no comment.
Yeah, but I get why you should be so upset, but it's actually quite a good book.
Don't be upset. Really, like we said, guys,
no,
take the feedback.
He actually praised the book. Yeah. But he was saying the book is good, but he was criticizing something she had done on social media.
Okay.
And then that's when he called it eye rolls.
But take the feedback. Yeah. Always reflective.
Like we said on Office Politics about feedback, being in a space where you're mature enough to take it and apply it.
We have
that
to
is
go.
Enough for tea time, guys.
Thank you so much, Lighten, for the tea.
Shit.
Okay, guys, it's really been a good... Thank you for the laughs. Thank you to everyone who listens to this crazy show. We really appreciate you.
Please
review... Rate it on Apple Podcast. It means a lot to us, and we keep climbing the charts if you do that.
Yes,
exactly. And give us feedback on social media, hashtag
the office podcast.
We shall see you guys next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.